This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Maintaining bone strength is complex with no single solution. My patients who want to optimize their bone health have seen remarkable results with LiveMD as part of a comprehensive bone program. LiveMD is a Class 1 medical device cleared by the FDA. It creates a gentle, low-intensity vibration to benefit your musculoskeletal system. It's a safe, scientifically proven, and simple approach to maintaining musculoskeletal health and wellness. It really works, just 10 minutes per day. Go to livemd.us, that's livemd.us, to learn more about how LiveMD may improve your health. That's livemd.us. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and once again, we're going to take a look today at a nutrient which is new and innovative as part of our effort to uncover new breakthrough nutrients that may ultimately revolutionize the field of nutritional medicine. The subject today is something called oligonol. I bet you haven't heard about it. You will know a lot about it by the time we complete this podcast. Today, we're going to talk to an expert. He is Jaime Salas. He's medical director of N-Shape. Jaime Salas is a traditionally trained physician who practices integrative medicine. He completed his training in my home base, New York, at St. Vincent and Mount Sinai Medical Center. And he's board certified in internal medicine and anti-aging and regenerative medicine. And he's been featured in numerous health publications, makes frequent appearances on health-focused radio and TV shows. So I think he's eminently qualified to tackle today's subject, which is oligonol. Welcome, Dr. Salas. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Dr. Hoffman.
Okay, so give us some background on this. In learning about it, I discovered it kind of has its base in traditional Chinese medicine. The lychee nut is an important medicinal food in Asia, correct?
Correct, like strawberries and berries and so forth. They've been looking for the antioxidant effects of all these fruits here. And lychee next or just after a strawberry, it's one of the most highly antioxidant fruits you can find, actually. And what happened was that when you have a lot of people in this trend that we know that aging and disease has an oxidative component, right? We oxidize right. ourselves. We grow old, we get some disease, we get diabetes, hypertension. And they were trying to see we can have naturally antioxidants. And between all those antioxidants, we have things called polyphenols, or, you know, very fancy name for a type of molecule that actually can achieve, in theory, an antioxidant effect. And what happened was if the molecule is too big, our body cannot absorb it or assimilate it the right way. So the people here found with oligonol, with the lychee extract, that actually they can manipulate the size of this molecule and bring about the effects or the benefits of an antioxidant with the size of a molecule that actually can be bioavailable in the human body. So it's kind of a, you know, science meets nature kind of way to try to, they know what they need, and now we're trying to make it in a way that we can use it.
So help us out
more
a little
or less
bit
that's
with...
What?
Yeah, so help us out a little bit with the terminology here, because we, you know, we throw around these words, polyphenols and flavonoids and flavanols and isoflavones and lignans, anthocyanins. We tend to use these words interchangeably, but actually there's sort of a taxonomy of these things. Polyphenol, and I'm looking at a diagram here and a description of oligonol, is the umbrella term for all these compounds. So they're polyphenols in wine, they're polyphenols
yes.
in fruits and vegetables, chocolate has polyphenols, et cetera, berries. But then you break it down into subcategories, and where does lychee fit in? Where is that?
And the thing is, polyphenols are basically a bunch of monomers and dimers. Basically means one molecule structure, two molecule structures, or multiple molecule structures into one, right? Mm-hmm. Polyphenols is basically this structure that has multiple single structures into it. Once you break a little piece of it, everything crumbles down, so it's not stable. And the body needs to absorb smaller parts of that molecule. So what the oligonol did is figure out a way to break that molecule apart from a poly or multiple phenols to like a smaller phenol. But what happens is that when you have a smaller phenol or like one or two molecule structure, it just breaks apart. It doesn't stay put. And what they did is actually they brought teeth into it, and it's a way of capping the molecule. So imagine yourself that, like Jenga, the game, it becomes a point that becomes unstable. So they figure out a way that when it's unstable but the right size, to cap it in a way to make it stable again. And you're correct. There's so many different terminologies and big words and fancy words for it, but it's basically trying to create an antioxidant that actually it's able to be absorbed into the human body. And, you know, you want to get very technical, you can, what we do is flavanols, which is like a class of polyphenols that are smaller in shape. But basically oligonol, what it is, it's a phenol with a T-cap on it to make it stable, it doesn't break down, so it's actually bioavailable. Mm-hmm. So it's a two-for-one thing. You have the T in one side, which is like 50% of the molecule, and then you have the actual antioxidant part, which is the phenol, which is the other 85% of the molecule.
So I'm reading here about the what's called the bioavailability problem, which you alluded to, in polyphenols. Now, it's one of the best ways to get a wide assortment of polyphenols is to eat a healthy diet. You know, that old saw about have lots of fruits and vegetables. But it turns out that some popular and important polyphenols are just not that bioavailable. For example, and I was kind of surprised reading this, anthocyanins, which are the thing that give berries their nice blue and purple color, but also all their benefits, it says they have less than 0.1% bioavailability. Quercetin, somewhere between 1 and 5%, a little better. But flavanols, and by the way, cocoa is a flavanol, isn't it? Cocoa is an important flavanol that's related to this.
Yes.
10 to 30% bioavailability. But in this description of oligonol, they say they've revved up the absorption rate to 60% or more. So that's kind of dramatic.
Because when science came into play, actually, they went to nature and said, okay, we know this molecule, this antioxidant per se, we need what it does in our body. The only thing is we're incapable of actually absorbing it in the right way. So we need to get it smaller. So the science behind amino acids, basically, and quality of life, is to actually take the good part of the molecule and put it in a size that is actually human absorbable. So the bioavailability is because of the size and the way it's structured. The body can assimilate it because of the size that oligonol is versus like a polyphenol or the other ones that you mentioned. So they actually made it stable. That's the whole science about it.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have it stable and small enough, it's actually in your body can do what it needs to do, because then your body can degrade it into the property, you know, the actual properties that it needs or the actual molecules that it needs. So it's basically first because of size. We knew what we needed. So now science needs to figure out a way to make it in a package that we can actually ship it into the body.
Okay.
You know, for lack of a better term. But.
Okay, so we've established that it's more bioavailable, but what would be the implications in terms of human physiology? Okay, say hypothetically that, you know, we've got a super polyphenol, very bioavailable. What could that possibly mean clinically in terms of endpoints, in terms of actual results for human health?
So, like, I'm going to, like, take this from your side, intelligent medicine, right?
Sure.
The whole thing is we need to find intelligent, high-efficient ways of taking care of ourselves. It's, you know, before we used to take a lot of vitamins, a lot of supplements, and overtake a lot of things that we weren't sure if they were working or not. Now we have the ability of measuring blood levels, of being more precise with what we need. What we found with new science is that just living, exercising, having a healthy lifestyle, let's say I'm a marathon runner, that's my passion.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm stressing myself to levels that are way above what a normal healthy human being can do. Running 26.2 miles takes you to a different, you know,
right,
a high stressful state in your body. And I saw you run the New York Marathon a few times, so you know when you come
not
to
this
mile
year.
22nd.
Right, not this year, but I've been there, done that, and I do triathlons, so I know about that whole stress component that you experience. Mile 22, you know, when I saw the, I don't know if you get where you are, live feed from the New York Marathon, but we in New York, we watch it every year. And, you know, I saw that Heartbreak Hill in Central Park where you think that the race is over. Mile 22, because you've done it. You know, you think it's done, but that last 4 miles, oh my goodness, it just takes it right out of you.
That's where mile 22 is where it begins.
Yeah.
When you want things, you just want to get over it. So what happens is we know, like, hypertension, high lipids, just exercise. You take a normal average person, 5'10", 150 pounds, put them to the exercise. We know that there's an anti-inflammatory effect or an inflammatory effect going into the body that actually causes damage to the body. And then we need a recovery period to try to bring our body back to the baseline state. What we know from antioxidants, going back to the broader term, going away from all those phenols and all those fancy words, we go back to antioxidants. We have an oxidation pathway, an oxidation state in our body just by doing exercise, living, aging, and having some sort of disease. And we needed to figure out to be intelligent enough to try to get something to help us fight that oxidative stress. And the best example is, let's take somebody who's aging, and a lot of you people from the audience might relate to this. We always hear with aging, you have rigidity blood vessels, or some rigidity in the blood vessels, right? They become hard and stiff.
And endothelial damage and so on, yeah.
Correct. And all this brings basically, instead of your artery being elastic and trying to absorb and have a good flow of blood, it just becomes rigid. And then you have hypertension and other things. We know that this substance, nitric oxide, actually helps to maintain that elasticity of the vessels. I always tell my patients, you know, blood vessels need to go in one direction with no turbulence, like a very nice river going downstream. That's how you want your blood to be. No interruptions, no little pebbles, nothing. When you have endothelial dysfunction, then you have this pebbles and this kind of rush water going down. And that nitric oxide is what helps us to actually maintain that little flow, good flow of the blood through the vessel. Antioxidants actually help elevate this nitric oxide production, helping us have better blood flow. Obviously, taking part of bringing good recovery cytokines and anti-inflammatory factors to where you need them, and bringing back all the junk, right, that you produce in the muscle when you exercise. So with the ligonol, you get like a two-pronged effect. You have these antioxidant effect of keeping that endothelial healthy, and then you have a more compliant vessel that actually can take more blood where you want it and bring more blood from where you need it. So it's being intelligent, trying to figure out a way to make a molecule that do more of the things that we need instead of jumping around from place to place.
I must admit that, you know, Dr. Salas, that the thing that got me interested in oligonol when I started to look at it, you know, because as you know, you're in this field and we are constantly bombarded with pitches, you know, literally from nutrition companies that say, you know, this is an amazing breakthrough. We're really subject to TMI, too much information overload. And, you know,
Correct.
So the hook for me on oligonol was that it's a circulatory enhancer. Now, I know you're based in, you have offices in Puerto Rico and in Miami, so maybe this is less of a problem for your patients, but I'm here in New York in the Northeast, and it's November, and it's getting colder. And a lot of my patients suffer from a condition called Raynaud's syndrome. And I was impressed by research that suggests that oligonol could be a remedy for patients suffering from Raynaud's. So tell us a little bit about, you say it helps with the nitric oxide, it promotes circulation. How has it been demonstrated that this could have an impact on that condition?
Well, basically what it does, it helps maintain integrity of the blood vessel. So you don't have that, it doesn't let you constrict that much. When you have when you're talking about Raynaud's condition, you took out very distal capillaries that start constricting and there's no good exchange between the arterial and the venous blood. With this, you actually maintain patency of that arterial venous system. In my case, when I deal with a lot of athletes in my practice, for me it's good because if I can maintain good blood flow, I can actually bring good nutrients to the muscle and bring all the, you know, all the metabolic byproduct back into the circulation so it'd be processed. So for you, where patients, is great because you have that extra warmth and that extra the sensibility of the vessel. For me, for athletes, it's great because now I have a more equally or a more dependent blood flow that I can tell my patients, you're going to have more blood to where you need it to the muscle, and then you're going to bring all the bad blood or dirty blood in the venous part of the venous part back. So if you see it both ways, for your condition is good, and for my athletes it's also good. So it has a two-pronged effect in that sense. And I think the most important, as you said, is the actual document evidence that we have that actually increases the production of nitric oxide, which is indispensable for endothelial proper functioning, which, it, again, you, I'm sure you have patients with diabetes, hypertension, peripheral vascular disease, and you can go so far as people that actually have bad circulation, that they're not able to walk that much and get cramping on and off. So with oligonol, obviously with adequate diet and exercise, you need to keep doing your exercise. I think it's an intelligent choice to put into your armament of things you can take in your body.
You know, tell us about, you know, I'm looking here at the literature on this, and, you know, one of the ways that they try to demonstrate, by the way, the company that has developed oligonol, you know, some another thing I look at when I look at new supplements, you know, what's their origin? You know, is the company a newbie or a fly-by-night company? This is a company called AminoUp, which is a company that also is responsible for introducing a product that I rely on a lot, which is AHCC. I understand it's one of Japan's leading nutritional products, and it's a wonderful product for raising immunity. And so they have some cred with me because they developed a product which I think is really well scientifically validated. So one of the things that they did, and, you know, it's a mark of a good company, they did research on this to try and demonstrate clinical efficacy. Thermography studies. Tell us what those showed when people were taking oligonol.
Basically, it shows when you take oligonol, they were trying to see by tomography as measuring the difference in temperature, basically to the extremities to see. And they show with oligonol, distal extremities, meaning hand and feet, were more red, so people can figure, you know, can understand that they were more hot in a sense, or had a better temperature. That means, or you can infer that you have better blood flow coming from the heart directly to your distal extremities. So in a way, they were saying if it's warmer, the hand is warmer, that means that more warm blood from the center of your body is going actually peripherally. So oligonol was shown to actually increase that warmth or that circulation to distal parts of both hand and feet. Again, which is for Raynaud's phenomenon, it's something that will help greatly patients up in the, over there in the north side. Puerto Rico, for us, you know, we can run faster, so that's another added benefit. So, in a way, but that's basically what it shows. They're trying to see if you can increase your temperature from distal extremities, and if so, what's the cause of it? And the most likely cause is basically increase the blood flow to the distal extremities. So that's what they were studying. In my way, when if you look into the athlete's part, when you have an athlete, if you can actually perfuse muscle better, then as you know, you can actually have more aerobic metabolism, better blood flow of oxygen and sugar in your muscle, and decrease your lactic acid production, so you get less fatigue. So in both senses, it's a very good product in that one that way. And also, since you mentioned AminoUp.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw in something there. I don't know if you know, AminoUp has a long history of like being a very clinically based company, meaning that they want to make sure that every single ingredient, every single thing they do is actually clinically based and clinically backed by studies. And they actually encourage people to keep doing studies after studies. And if you bring questions, they want to do a study to answer the question. Mm-hmm. So they're very proactive and figure out a way to improve on everything they do. So I do find that very rewarding. And the other thing is actually for all those like myself, you know, I live in an island, so we cherish our everything that we have. We 100 by 35, we try to recycle everything. They've been trending into this very good company, very avant-garde, being a very green company, and trying to make all the production for HCC, oligonol, and other things they do to be very earth-based, meaning using solar power energy. I don't know if you know, they actually cool their facility during the summer with snow. They actually store during the winter. So they've been trying to very proactively not only make great products to help the human being, but also be very planet conscious about this. So I like the way they think. You know, it's a company that when you think the morals about it, in that sense, is very good.
Corporate responsibility. I'm looking at a study that, or a summary of a study anyway, on athletic recovery. I think, you know, one of the hallmarks of training, you know, when you train at a high level, is you want to get in as many workouts as you can. And ideally, you know, you could train twice daily, 7 days a week. But especially as you get older, it doesn't work out that way. There's this thing called recovery.
Correct.
Recovery takes longer and longer, and that sort of impairs your ability to take it to another level. So this study here looks at... Go ahead. Yep.
Your immune response actually takes care of that. Recovery can come 2 to 7 days after the actual exercise.
Yep. So that's usually what it hits, because sometimes right after exercise, you know, you feel like hammering the next day, but man, you pay for it on day, you know, 48 hours later.
Correct.
So the study that I'm thinking about is a study looking at obligonol's ability to aid recovery from fatigue. And are you familiar with that study?
Yes. Well, there are a few ones, and I actually, this last year, I contributed with a few patients from my office that we took some people with and without exercise, and also some overweight and obese people, and measured, like, you know, fasting insulin, CRP, homocysteine, inflammatory markers, and we noticed that adding to the regimen oligonol decreased their inflammatory markers too. So in a way, oligonol is bringing about a decrease in interleukin-6, and other cytokines that bring out inflammation. So you fatigue less, we want to put it in a simpler way, with oligonol.
Right. So both subjectively and objectively. So there's subjective markers like how you're feeling, and then there's the objective markers based on blood tests and so on.
Correct. And I think there are two reasons why. First, because of the circulatory issue. If you improve circulation to your muscle, if you keep bringing healthy, oxygenated, glucose-rich blood into your muscle, you're going to be in a better metabolic state, and it's, you are depriving your muscle from oxygen. So that's one. And the other one is just the scavenger, the free radical scavenger hunting that an antioxidant has. And because of the high bioavailability of oligonol, you can actually take advantage of that antioxidant effect and have less free radicals in it. And you know, I can compare this to a new trend that is coming out of medicine. A lot of the medical literature is trying to figure out why, how to make or how to capture all those free radicals and decrease oxidation. And I don't know, you might be familiar with this. One of the medications that a lot of people know is metformin. They use it for diabetics.
Yes, right.
You might have heard. And now it's being studied as, you know, an anti-aging, antioxidant effect of metformin.
An anti-cancer agent as well.
Correct. And it shows that if you take metformin in specific cases, that it can actually decrease the staging of depressed cancer after surgery and so forth. So it's very interesting that medicine is going into this antioxidant pathway way to figure out a way how to prevent that oxidation. So oligonol is kind of new in that, because it's targeting specifically what other traditional medicines it's looking for. You know, in a way, we kind of found it. Metformin is actually a plant-based medication too.
It comes from called goat rue, R-U, I think, originally was the chemical constituent was isolated from that.
I think it's French liliac, the common name, right? Something like that?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Maybe same name for the same plant, but it originally was a botanical. All right, so this is a good point at which to pause, because we've sort of established some of our basic understanding of what oligonol is. We divide these podcasts into two parts. And in part two, I want to take it a step further, because there's additional evidence that oligonol may have benefits for appearance, for skin or wrinkles, and for weight. It doesn't get much better than that. We'll take a look at some of that evidence in part two of today's podcast. Our guest is Dr. Jaime Salas. Dr. Salas is a physician who is based in Puerto Rico and Miami, trained in internal medicine, who's been involved in oligonol research. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.